The following program previously recorded.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, I've got a thought for you. Today, it's going to be a very interesting show. If at all possible, you're going to want to listen all the way through this show because it's a long dissertation and you don't want to miss any of it. If you, for chance, can't stay on, then what you're going to do is go and get the podcast off of my website at Lifestyles Unlimited. Go to the radio section and then there's podcasts there. You're going to want to follow this because today what I'm going to do is something completely different. I'm going to discuss the realities and the misrepresentations of the self-help industry. And the way I'm going to address that is by asking this question. With the several millions of self-help books out there that have started way back, you know, at the beginning, 1920s, 1930s, when they started writing these things, many of them have been compilations of other people's work. Many of them have been duplications of other people's work. Some of them have some new ideas. But they're all basically, in my mind, set up to wind you up and then let you go. Now, I have to say this, to full disclosure. I've read almost all those self-help books, and I believe I got something valuable out of each one of them. But I do not believe that I am a millionaire today because of them. That's an interesting point, because many of the books, many of the ideas that are set out for us to believe just are, they're off. And some of them are wrong because of timing. In other words, things they thought to be true back when these books were written may have been true. But many of them are just based on the basic concept that you're going to work for the rest of your life. And that's how you're going to become successful. And that work is man's best friend. And that, you know, the people that are successful are just, you know, doing certain things. And so how am I going to approach this? Well, somebody sent me an article from the Business Insider, written by Kathleen Elkins. It says 19 things keeping you from getting rich, according to journalists who spent his career studying millionaires. And the preface is, journalist Napoleon Hill set out to uncover the key wealth around 80 years ago. He studied more than 500 self-made millionaires over a span of 20 years, and his research culminated in what would become timeless personal finance classic, Think and Grow Rich. In addition to boiling down the secret to being wealthy in this book, he revealed 30 major causes of failure that hold many of us back from becoming rich. Here are 19 that are still relevant today. So what I want to do is I want to discuss these 19 with you and give you my opinion of them. Let's start out with the first one. It says, not having a well-defined purpose. There's no hope of success for a person who does not have a central purpose or a definite goal in mind which to aim for. If you're looking to build wealth, start with visualizing your savings goal with a specific price tag. Then form a financial plan and determine exactly where you want to go. Well, on the surface, that seems like it's a logical statement for you, and it would be positive for you to start thinking about saving. But savings is overrated, because I know people with savings that still can't retire. They're still not financially successful, right? And the whole problem is that I know many of you that have done this, and you're still not where you want to be financially. So I deem that first statement as being the wrong map. So here you are, you're being told by the smartest guy in the world who studied the 500 smartest guys in the world, and what they're telling you to do is start saving. That is the sole definition of being successful, is to start saving. I quite honestly don't believe that it is as powerful as they think it is. I think it's obviously something we're going to have a part of our tool in our toolbox, is saving some money. But what if you could borrow all the money and become rich without saving? I've seen people do it. I've done it in many ways. So I think there's a little bit of a problem with that, because many people do it and it still doesn't create the results are looking for. Lack of ambition. You have to want to aim above mediocrity, Hill says. We offer no hope for the person who is indifferent as to not want to get ahead in life, who's not willing to pay the price. Wealth doesn't simply appear. You have to work towards it with patience and persistence. A good starting point is to invest your money earlier. The earlier, the better, and let the power of compounding interest build your wealth. Look, there is no such thing as compounding interest anymore. Interest rates are 1%. So this is a lie from the past when interest rates used to be 15%. Compounded interest when interest was 15% was a pretty powerful tool to use, but now it's absolutely useless. Number two, ambition. What about all the people? People just like yourself. And I know you're sitting there right now saying, that's BS. I have all the passion in the world anybody could possibly have. But the problem is, if you have the wrong map, that passion doesn't do you any good. You went hard on college. You worked. You studied. You learned. You got good grades. You got out. You got a job. You worked hard. You did everything. You gave up your life to your job. You got married. You gave up your life to your family and your kids. You saved. And here you are 50 years of age and you still can't retire and you're almost nowhere towards that goal. I see it happen all the time. What do you mean there's a lack of ambition? I would say 99% of you have ambition. It's just that those of you that don't show it is because you've had it drummed out of you, right? Many, many, many people have had ambition beat out of them by their church, by their parents, by their teachers. You're never going to grow up to be anything. You shouldn't try to be better than the rest of you, everybody in the room. You need to settle down and just be like everybody else. Let's go through it. There's a thousand of these things we've all heard, and they're constantly trying to beat us out of ambition. So to not have ambition or to have ambition, I think, is a ridiculous concept, because I think every baby has ambition when it's a baby. It starts out with ambition because it wants milk bad. It wants things. It wants to touch everything around it. And somehow we socialize ambition right out of people. So to say that the reason you're successful is because you have ambition is ridiculous. You're not successful because they beat ambition out of you. The next one is not properly applying your education. A college degree alone won't cut it. Knowledge is only potential power, and it will not become useful and lead to great wealth unless it's organized and applied to life. Well, guys, think about this. Our educational system is completely busted. So you go to college, you get education. What good does it do you if you're taking African dance science? I mean, what good does it do you if you're studying liberal arts? What good does it do you when what you're learning is completely useless, political, poli-sci? All the stupidest guys in my college that I knew, and women, took poli-sci. It's ridiculous to think that you're going to take hogwash like that and come out and be successful in life. It's just not going to work. And so people are not only getting the wrong education, they're getting useless education. Now let's take what the average person studies every day. You get up and watch politics on TV every day. You read the newspaper about politics every day. Everything is about how these other people out there, outside of you, are going to change your life. That's your education. You know every sports team there is. You know what their score is. You know where they're ranked. You know not only one, you know every different kind of sport there is. People, guys, I sit there in the gym and I listen to fat old men bragging about how they know how they could fix these sports teams when they can't even work out in the gym. They're so fat and out of shape and old, and yet they're armchair quarterbacks because they're full of this knowledge, useless knowledge. I hear a guy on the bike the other day talking about how that these guys out there, these politicians, are going to make a difference. And they're talking about this guy likes this guy, and this guy likes this guy, and this is a liberal, and this is this. But guys, you're still sitting there. You're still old. You're still fat. You still can't exercise, and you're poor. You're talking about the fact that rich people are terrible. So you see, guys, think of how useless all this personal energy is studying. Think of how useless all this information is. And yet Napoleon Hill says that you have to be able to get your education. You got to get the right education.
Now, from the files of Del Wamsley.
There are a lot more emails coming into me from brokers, which means that people must be tapping into these brokerage firms, and they're getting our email addresses, and they're starting to send stuff to us. We have a lot of people recently that have been going outside of the major metropolitans.
In the smaller areas, some of them in the metropolitan areas also, but it's kind of funny. The ones that I've consulted on, the deals they found to purchase are generally from people that aren't selling their properties, or they're not actively pursuing selling their properties. And we instruct them, look, you know, contact this person and see if they would be interested in selling. And on many occasions, the owner would go, wow, I've had it for 20 years. I guess it is time to sell and, you know, either retire or, you know, my depreciation's all gone. Maybe I ought to just buy something bigger or whatever.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
When you look at the effects of what happened in 2008 and you compare it to what we are hopefully coming out of right now, real estate has definitely shown its resiliency. It has provided for people not only a place to live, but a place to work, a place to raise their children, a place to teach their children, a place to prepare all of their meals.
And that's really where the rubber meets the road, is that there are two things that people have to have, and they strive very hard to have them, and that's a roof over their head and food on the table. And if you are investing in something related to either of those two things, you are going to have a winning strategy. And in addition to that, you're providing something of value to the people around you, and creating a win-win situation while creating wealth and passive income for yourself is the best life you can get.
Real estate is resilient. You should have real estate in your portfolio. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Today we're discussing Napoleon Hill's 19 reasons for failure. And we're just, you know, we're knocking around the idea of why is it that if all this self-help material is out there, and so many of us, you know, millions of us have read the self-help materials, and Napoleon Hill's one of the best, by the way, why is it we're still not successful? And I'm saying to you that the very crux, the very concept of self-help material is many times based on still wrong premises. So we go to the next one. It says lack of self-discipline. It says discipline comes through self-control, Hill writes. This means that one must control all negative qualities. Before you can control conditions, you must first control yourself. If you do not conquer self, you'll be conquered by self, right? Then he goes on and says, when it comes to getting rich, the most basic formula is save more, spend less. It's a simple concept, but spending less requires discipline. Learn to recognize and manage your overspending. So on the surface, this seems like true, right? This is, hey, that's exactly right. Look at the people that spend every penny they make. Yet I know people that spend every penny they make that end up becoming multimillionaires. And I know people that save like big dogs. I mean, they save deep. 5, 10, 20, 25% of what they earn, and they end up with money. But the reality is, it's not how much money you save over a lifetime. It's how much that money can make for you at any one time for you to survive on. So let's say you studied, saved, you come up with $100,000 and want to retire. You can't retire on $100,000. Right now you can earn 1%. The greatest, the best, the fund manager out there can promise you 3% return. In other words, we can draw down 3% a year for the rest of your life, which is $3,000 a year. You're not going to be able to retire on that. Yet, if you listen to Tuesday's show, a husband and wife team who found out and discovered this stock market wasn't going to get them there, that kind of savings and that 401k and IRA stuff wasn't going to get them there, they decided to look into real estate investing. And in 18 months, not 18 years, not 30 years, but in 18 months, they accumulated 9 houses that was producing and is producing $72,000 a year in passive income. So which is it? See, if you're sitting here and they're telling you, boy, you're not succeeding because you have lack of discipline. Well, guys, I lost all my money in the stock market. I had discipline. I saved my money. I put it away and I lost it in the stock market. Does that mean that my lack of discipline was my failure? No. Does that mean that my discipline was my success? No, neither of which. My discipline, my failure was turned around when I started realizing it's not how much money you save, it's how much cash flow you produce. And again, self-help winds you up, tells you to go out there, work hard, save, and that in itself will someday get you there. Not at all. The next one, not taking care of your body. No person ever enjoyed outstanding success without good health. Napoleon Hill writes that many millionaires make time in their schedules to exercise. You haven't mastered your body. The good news is that many have caused bad health, overrated negative thoughts, and lack of exercise under your control. Well, let me explain something to you guys. The basic concept of no energy, no results has some merit. There really is merit to being physically healthy. But to say that physical health is the only answer, it is the solution, it will stop you, is far from the truth. We had a member, this member wrote me an email, I read it on the radio. This member had cancer and was taking radiation and chemotherapy in the hospital. And during that time, he purchased a successful real estate deal, closed the deal while he was on chemotherapy. Now, you telling me how much health and fitness is that while you're dying of cancer? And he made the point in the email. Hey, if a guy like me, an old dude dying of cancer, can go out and be successful as an investor and make large cash flows, then why can't you do it? Yeah, all of us have some kind of sickness. I had staph infection that almost killed me. I had cancer that almost killed me. I had a rotator cuff that was completely severed. I had a bicep that became severed twice. I had two operations on my bicep, one on my shoulder. While I was hurt, with my shoulders blown out, I could only exercise with my legs, so I overworked my legs and blew my knee out. Come on, guys. None of that sounds like really health and physical fitness, yet I've made more money in the last 10 years than I did my first 40 years before that. So, hey, yeah, when I was young, I was strong, I was healthy, I was athletic, and I was broke. So I don't correlate health and fitness directly with making money either. It's just an excuse, right? It's just an excuse for not being successful. The next one, procrastination. Hill calls procrastination one of the most common causes of failure. Most of us go through a life as failures because we are waiting for the time to be right to start doing something worthwhile. Do not wait. Time is never be right. Start where you stand, work with whatever tools you have at the moment, and the better tools will find you along the way. If you want to build wealth, start today. Pick up a personal financial book, listen to a podcast about money management, form a financial plan, or contribute towards a Roth IRA or a regular IRA, traditional IRA. Guys, this is so much BS, it's pitiful. It's not about procrastinating. That's not the problem. You know, and their idea, their suggestion that you get up and you start reading, you start doing something, that's like Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins' success concept is fire, ready, aim. Just do something. But I'm going to talk to you about a guy that was famous. His name is Vince Lombardi. And Vince Lombardi said, practice doesn't make perfect. Practicing all these things that don't work will get you nowhere. Reading and studying all these wrong principles will get you nowhere. Getting started tomorrow doing the wrong thing will get you nowhere. I would rather have you sit back for a week, a month, or even a year, and listen to my radio shows and learn what really works. Come out, meet people that are successful, and don't do anything until you do the right thing. Right? Practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. So stop doing this stupid concept of do something. Doing something is not the answer. Only doing the right thing will bring you the success you want. In fact, doing the wrong thing will deplete your resources, deplete your energy, and destroy your confidence. No, my friends, what I want you to do is I want you to stick with it, the learning process, until you know you've got something that is absolutely perfect. I recommend you check us out. We're a part of that perfection in life. But for you, don't just do something. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Fire, ready, aim is the government.
Now more intel to build a better lifestyle from Del Wamsley.
I get this question all the time. Why do you put down 401ks? And I got one here from a guy who said, why do you put down 401ks so strongly when everybody I know believes that they're the best thing you can possibly do? And then I, you know, emailed back to the guy and said, everybody you know who has a job probably tells you that. because they know no other way. That's what they've been told, and that's what you've been told, and everybody's been told the same thing. But I said, go ask any retired wealthy person. You'll see that of the 50,000 clients I have at Lifestyles Unlimited, which is quite a few, but we're all over the country, and probably only 1% or 2% of them even have a 401k anymore. Most of them, 98% of them, liquidate the 401k within a year or two of being here because they realize that they can do so much better outside of the 401k than they can inside of the 401k.
You're listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
So what I'm doing today is I'm dissecting the self-help industry and proving out as best I can, wherever it makes sense, that many people are failed by the self-help industry because they're fed a bunch of stuff that's just not true. Or if it is true, it's inconsequential. It doesn't really lead to what success really is. And we're talking about finances. And we're using the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, which is one of the top self-help people in the world, but author also. But still, even his ideas are not enough or would not take you, the average person, and make you wealthy because they still lack basic policies and principles that make the difference. So the next one is lack of persistence. Most of us are good starters, but poor finishers everything we begin. Hill writes, people are prone to give up the first sign of defeat. Don't stop until you get what you want. The most successful people tend to have dealt with and have overcome failure. I've learned that it doesn't matter how many times you fail. Billionaire Mark Cuban said, smart business, you only have to be right once. I tried to sell powdered milk and I was an idiot, and lots of times I've done stupid things, blah, blah, blah. I've learned from all of them. I think this is the dumbest idea I've ever come up with. Sorry, Mark, I know you're a billionaire and I'm just a millionaire. I get that. But, you know, the concept is throw enough mud on the wall, something sticks. I'm going to fail my way to success. All these things. And they're talking about why there's a lack of persistence. Well, you know, if you take my seminar, I see people as either type A's or type B's. And type A's are the kind of people that fall into this category where they start 1,000 projects and finish none of them. Okay, I understand that that is a problem. Yet why is it that our program has thousands of successful type A personalities? I'll tell you why. When you start out on a project and you're allowed to fail in the first 5 minutes to 5 days to 5 weeks of a project, you're going to lose interest in it if you're a type A. Now, type B's will grind themselves to death and do the same thing even if it doesn't work. Even if it doesn't work, they'll keep doing it. That's just what a type B is. But a type A, they've got to see some results. And when they start out on a new project, a new idea, and that project, that idea doesn't come to fruition, and they're not seeing massive success in a short period of time, they're ready to roll that one away and start something new. Go, you know what? That was a great idea. It just didn't work. And my philosophy is like Mark Cuban's. It doesn't matter how many times you fail. I'll just fail at another one and move on to something else. But what if you take those kinds of people and you show them great success at the beginning of a project? We take people all the time at Lifestyles. They're type A personalities. They vacillate from wanting to do apartments to houses and back and forth, and they change their mind 1,000 times. We have to take them and get them to do something successful, whether it's start with a house or start with an apartment. The second they buy one, in fact, you see many, many times where the spouses come in and they hate us that their spouse joined. And then after they do one deal and start making money month after month after month, money coming in, these people change their mind almost instantly. No, my friends, the way to create persistence is to create persistent success. As long as you're succeeding, you're not going to quit. So why do stuff that creates failure? Because you didn't follow the rest of the rules, which was to find the team you needed. All right, the next thing is negativity. There's no hope of success for people who repel people through negative application of power, and power is attained through cooperative efforts of other people. A negative person will not induce cooperation. The concept here is, since business is a team sport, that if you are not able to cooperate with other people, if you're a negative Nelly per se, no one's going to want to be around you. Hence, you'll never succeed. Yet I know lots of people that are negative people, because not every single thing you do to create success has to have people liking you to get it done. I, for years, was a negative Nelly. I see the bad side in everything that's out there. That's why my rule one is don't lose money, which is, hey, let's look for all the downside first, eliminate the downside, then we'll go forward. I am a negative Nelly when it comes to it. Listen to me right now. I'm going against Napoleon Hill, the most famous guy in the whole world when it comes to self-help. And I'm saying, hey, even this is dangerous material because of the fact that people take this stuff to be one and only. So now you start trying to be friendly to everybody. That's not going to get you success. I went out and bought houses by myself. I fixed them up myself. I used to love going to the house, buy tools, go to the house, and do the house. I played the music while I did it. I loved being alone. I loved spending that time getting things done, and I was very successful with it. It wasn't until later that my success turned me positive, and then my positivity was able to beam out to other people. But to say that a person's negativity is what's keeping them from being successful just doesn't make any sense at all. The next one, lack of decisiveness. Analysis of several hundred people who have accomplished fortunes well beyond $1 million mark disclosed the fact that every one of them had the habit of reaching decisions promptly, right? On the flip side, people who fail to accumulate money without exception have the habit of reaching decisions, if at all, very slowly and changing decisions very quickly. A decisiveness is not just a trait of the wealthy, but one of the most qualities in leaders needed to possess. Here's the deal, guys. If you have lack of decisiveness, it's because you have bad information. I take type B's all the time that refuse to make decisions. Now, just like we said we fix type A's, we fix type B's also, because we know that if you talk to a B, they will always say no. They will never, ever take action, because their goal in life is to never make a mistake. And so if they think they could possibly make a mistake, they're going to not want to do it. If they do start to do it and they feel uncomfortable that it may be a failure, they'll back out before they even do it. So how do we fix that? We fix it by, number one, giving them solid information. Solid information that's accurate, on point, that they can use to make decisive decisions, because they now have the right map, then they will start making decisive decisions. But given a faulty map, a type B is not going to live by the lie that type A's live by, which is you can fail your way to success. Next one, choosing the wrong spouse. Hill highlights this as one of the most common causes of failure. Unless this relationship is harmonious, failure is likely to follow. Moreover, it will be a form of failure that is marked by misery and unhappiness, destroying all signs of ambition. You know what? On the surface, this is absolutely true. I would just say a couple of things. I meet people all the time that have terrible marriages and still become financially successful. What they do is they isolate the marriage away from their financial growth. They're able to compartmentalize things. The wife doesn't want you, and it could be the wife or the husband. I've seen both, so don't take that wrong. But, you know, the spouse, let's put it that way, just doesn't want anything to do with what you're doing, thinks you're crazy to want more than just a job for the rest of your life. And I'm saying to you, there's two choices. One, compartmentalize it like some of these people do and stay married for 30 or 40 years with a spouse that's just nowhere near incompatibility with them. Or number two, get a divorce. It's simple enough. It will work. Let's see where our time is here. We're at 4:03. Okay, we've got about another minute. Let's take one more on. Not taking risks. People who take no chances generally has to take whatever is left when others are through choosing. All right? And it goes on and says, it comes to manage your money. It can be tempting to let your savings sit safely in a bank account to avoid feeling repercussions of another stock market crash, blah, blah, blah. You want to do wisely, of course. Good starting point is to look for low-cost index funds where Warren Buffett and other index experts recommend. You know, guys, this is BS. Speculation is not safe. What they're saying is you make the mistake of not taking risks by letting your money sit on the sidelines where it's safe. So instead, your idea of the right thing to do is to go speculate, like speculation is going to get you there. No, guys, this is BS, I'm telling you. Rule one, never lose money. You don't want to go speculate. Say, well, are you taking risks to go buy a rent house? We set up the deal under the rule one, don't lose money first plan, which is fix everything, screen your tenant, set up all the rules so that the rules are in your favor. The odds are 100% in your favor. You're not going to lose. You will lose a hand here or there like a casino. You may lose one hand. You may lose a few dollars. Something might go minorly wrong, but no major upsets will ever take you down. And that's the basis of how we teach to do real estate.
Del Wamsley on how to live the lifestyle.
The money I earn from real estate is almost tax-free, absolutely tax-deferred all the way, and could be completely until you die, in which case the taxes just go away. Now, that's a whole nother concept to talk about taxation and real estate. That's another show. But the reality is, just take my word for it. If done correctly, you could avoid taxation on your real estate income forever. I'm not paying taxes on the money. You're pulling money out of the 401k, and I'm getting it out of my real estate tax-free. It's not even close to the same thing. You have to earn 30% more to take out the same amount I take out. But wait, there's more. The money that I earned as capital gains because the houses went up in value, and the money you earned in capital gains as the stocks went up in value, should be taxed at something called a capital gains rate, which is much lower than the income tax rate most of the time.
You're listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes. Del Wamsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. And in 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself who got started at 87 go, you know what, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today I'm just sort of, I guess we're myth-busting how self-help programs actually tell people to do the wrong thing. We're going down 19 things that Napoleon Hill said in his book that I think are ridiculous. The next one is hanging out with the wrong crowd. One should use great care to select the employer who will be inspirational to him. The concept extends beyond your boss and associates. It's also important to surround yourself with talented, driven people outside your work. Look, guys, this is just a bunch of garbage. I never had a rich or talented employer. I had an idiot for a boss in every job I've ever had. That's why they're just still at a job. Secondly, I never hung around rich people. You don't have enough money to hang around rich people. So the only thing you can possibly do is hang around people that are motivated, like joining something like Lifestyles Unlimited, where you can hang out with these people. But understand, the closest of friends, when they go out at night, have the most intimate conversations and spend all that time together, costs money. And the average poor person can't afford to go out and spend $400 or $500 a night, like we do, and so, you know, we do everything we can at LifeSales to create the environment for networking. We call it forced networking, because you're just not going to go out there and find rich people, let you hang out with them. And if it's not rich people, say successful people, because, you know, they're going to be what they're doing, what they want to do. They're taking care of their families. They're having fun with people they know. They're not out there looking for some guy. And I see it all the time. People come up to me, hey, man, I'll do anything. I'll work for free. I just want to hang out with you. Whoever told people to do that, man, I don't know. Let's go on number next one. Is sticking with the job you hate. It says no man can succeed in a line of endeavor which he does not like. The most essential step in marketing a personal service is selecting an occupation which you throw yourself into. Don't toil away at a job that leaves you stressed out and dissatisfied in life. Quitting your job might be the most important thing you ever do. Gosh, guys, listen to me. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Work is the only way you make money. And if you've got a skill set you get paid at, continue to do the skill set and build passive streams of income until you can leave that job without having a financial burden. I see people all the time throw their hands up in the air and quit. They end up broke every single time. They use up all of their savings, but they thought the most important thing I read in this stupid self-help book was not do something I hate to do. Sometimes in life, we have to do those things we hate to do while we accomplish the goal of doing what we need to do. And when we do that, then we become successful. So again, another lie. Not narrowing your focus. The concept here is a jack of all trades is seldom very good at anything. Well, the truth of the matter is Lifestyles is filled with people that are jacks of all trades and many, many trades. The one thing they should have said is you need to focus on that which works. But if you go into it here, you look at the people who are highly successful. They're successful in understanding buying. They're successful at locating, evaluating, negotiating, contracting, closing, rehabbing, marketing, sales, accounting, and personnel development. And all of those skill sets are a jack of all trades. So what do? You know, you focus on becoming knowledgeable of the base. But should you be buying, flipping, wholesaling at the same time? No, I agree with that much of what they're saying. You should focus on one aspect of what you're going to do. However, I see people all the time do more than one at the same time. Moving on, lack of passion. Without enthusiasm, one cannot be convincing. The enthusiasm is contagious, and the person who has it under control is generally welcome. Billionaire Donald Trump echoed the thought nearly a century later when he said, without passion, you don't have energy. Without energy, you don't have nothing. Guys, the reason you don't have any passion is because you got the wrong map. If everything you've been told to do your entire life ended up creating failure after failure after failure, if every lie you've ever been told sent you the wrong direction, your passion is going to go away very quickly. Passion is something that the world can beat out of you. You can't just drum it up. You can't get up in the morning and go, ah, scream, yell, 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 ah, and then go out and fail again. It just doesn't work that way. Being closed-minded is a problem. If you only believe your way is the right way, he says you must be willing to continue, collaborate with others, imagine new ideas, and innovate. The wealthiest, most successful people think differently. You know, I agree with this one, and that's why we have forced networking, and that's why we have our upper group of people, the super group of people that network all the time, because the successful, the most successful, want to share their ideas with everybody else and pick up everybody else's ideas. So that one I believe in. The next one is lack of soft skills and inability to cooperate with others. In other words, don't be a jerk. People do not want to do business with jerks. This is a lie. Steve Jobs was a complete jerk. I've seen 4 movies on him, read 4 books on him. He's a jerk. Okay, he was a jerk. Donald Trump is a jerk. Nobody likes Donald Trump. I mean, he is a complete idiot when it comes to people skills out there. Yet, that didn't stop him from being successful. Almost every athlete you meet out there that is a superstar is a jerk. They're arrogant, egotistical, mind-numbing, blasé people that you just don't want to be around because they're arrogant and they're mean and they're a jerk. Yet, they're highly successful. The idea of not being a jerk, look, I'm being a jerk right now to some of you. Some of you go, Dell, you are so arrogant, you're so this, you're so that. Proof in the pudding. Being a jerk hasn't stopped me from being successful. The next one, intentional dishonesty. And this one, I have to agree with. Integrity. When I look at people that succeed, integrity is a must. I have an old saying, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So if you're out there trying to get a shortcut, skip things, this and that, do something illegal to get ahead, it's going to eventually come back and get you. Next, lack of passion. Again, the only reason a person has no passion is because they have no mission. No mission, no message, no passion. You have to have a map that you can look at and go, wow, that's going to do something radical for me. Which leads me to the last one, which is trying to get rich quick, I think is the last one on here. Yeah, there it is. And look, I'll just tell you this. That's the biggest lie there ever was. The real truth is, you can't get rich slow. You can get rich quick. If you think you're going to get rich slow, methodical, bean counter person, get over yourself. It isn't going to happen. The people that get rich go out and make $1 million in one transaction. That's how you get rich. You have to do something really large, really successful, and then you end up with all the profits. Hope you enjoyed the discussion today. Hope it triggered some thoughts, but remember this. It's not the money. It's the lifestyle. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.